Lord, we just come before you and we pray, Lord, that we will taste and see that you are good. Lord, that you will open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to see all that you have for us, Lord, that we wouldn't inhibit what you want to do in and through our lives, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would just embrace you and that we would welcome your presence in our lives, Lord. So we just pray that this would be a time that is glorifying to you, Lord, that lifts your name high. Lord, may you have a sweet and smelling aroma from our hearts to yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How are we doing this morning? Pretty good? Yeah? Well, today we are going to discuss what it means to practice the presence of the Lord. And we will be in the book of Jude. We'll be in verse 20 and 21. Well, we will find three steps to take that we should take on a daily basis in order to remain in the presence of the Lord. And as you are turning in your Bibles, I want you to think about what that really means. What does it mean to practice the presence of the Lord? What does that phrase mean to you personally? If I am completely honest with you, when I was given this topic, I was speechless. I really didn't know how to put into words what it meant to practice the Lord's presence. And so I really had to sit down and kind of dissect my life, dissect who I was and how I was making this a practice in my life personally. And when you think about it, it seems pretty simple, right? It's a simple phrase. It kind of flows off the tongue. It's practicing the presence of the Lord. But what does that really mean? What does it look like? And to truly understand that and then explain it can be complex and even daunting. And the truth is, before I could do that, again, I had to look at myself and question, how am I putting this to play in my life? The overarching idea of practicing God's presence for all of us is to have a keen awareness of God's unchanging, constant existence in our lives. And it is the determination of how we are going to take that truth and apply it to ourselves. God's presence is a characteristic of his being. And what I mean by that is God is omnipresent. So he is everywhere. God is always with us. And if we studied this very thing in Joshua, in the beginning of Joshua, in chapter 1, God told Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. David wrote in Psalms 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Practicing the presence of God is not trying to convince God to hang out with you. God is always with you. God is Emmanuel, God with us. And so today is not about discovering whether or not God is with you, but what are we doing with God's presence? What are we doing with this truth? What are we doing in his presence? And while I searched my heart and my life to answer this question for myself personally, it was a rediscovery that was kind of an unpleasant truth, that all of my righteousnesses compared to God are like filthy rags. There is nothing that I have to offer that will ever meet God's perfection. And I realize that I myself am far from perfect, that I mess up every day and multiple times a day. But at the same time, it was also a reminder of rediscovering the redeeming grace of God and Jesus Christ and his blood that he shed for my sake to cover all of my imperfections. It is my imperfections that are made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I cling to that undeniable truth. So if today you are feeling discouraged, or you are just overwhelmed by your circumstances, or maybe even the way you behave, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that to know that regardless of where you have fallen short, regardless of what you have done, what Jesus did is greater still. Don't give your fears and your struggles, your emotions, or your failures more power than they have. You can overcome that with the love of God. And I may not be perfect, but that's okay, because our God is, right? Amen. Ladies, when we fall down and when we mess up, when we fall short, we need to get back up and allow God to brush off our shoulders. We need to allow God to direct our steps and to help us to press on. Brother Lawrence is a famous monk and author from the 16th century, and he actually wrote a book, or they took some of his recordings that he had written down and made it into a book. And I listened to that because I'm popping. So, Brother Lawrence is a monk, and he wrote an amazing book about practicing his presence. And I listened to it and read through it, and he had so many powerful points that you might get annoyed. I do quote him a lot, so I'm just giving you the fair warning now that he says amazing things, and so I'm going to quote him on it. And so one of the things that he wrote was that all things are possible to him who believes, that they are less difficult to him who hopes, they are more easy to him who loves, and still more easy to him who perseveres in the practice of these three virtues. Today you are going to be challenged to pursue an intimacy with God that may push you past your limits. It may make you uncomfortable. And the challenge may appear daunting, but the result, the outcome of doing so, will take your relationship with the Lord to great heights. As we've been studying in Joshua, Lenya has shared with us how Joshua has continued to press on through fear and unpromising circumstances. And we have seen how Joshua has led the Israelites from victory to victory because of his dependence on God and because of his decision to persevere in his faith. Joshua's success is a complete result of God's presence in his life. So God's presence in our life is key. And I believe if we persevere in these steps that we are going to cover today, that we too will succeed and we will be blessed through it. So today we are going to learn how to practice the presence of the Lord through building on the Word of God, praying in the power of God, and remaining in the love of God. Read with me Jude, verse 20 and 21. It says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And before we can unfold these steps that we are going to personally apply to our lives, I want you to understand a little bit where Jude is coming from. Okay, so in the book of Acts, we learn about the Great Commission, and we learn about the expansion of the early church as a result of his followers taking the Great Commission seriously. And although we don't learn much about Jude, we do know that he's a half-brother of Jesus, and that Jude was involved in the ministry and sharing the gospel that began after Jesus' ascension back into heaven. That Jude's mission field was most likely the neighboring cities around Jerusalem, and that Jude, like his other siblings, did not believe in Jesus Christ and did not believe he was the Son of God until after they witnessed the crucifixion and the resurrection. And then that is why we don't hear much about him or see how he's involved in the Gospels prior to. Also, the similarities between the book of Jude and the book of 2 Peter reveal that the epistle of Jude was most likely written sometime between 67 and 80 AD. So this explains why Jude begins his letter in Jude 1, that he's contending for the faith, that he's going to bat for the faith against false teaching and justification of sin by using God's grace. And so why is this important to note? Why do we need to know this? Well, one, I think it's always a good idea to know a little bit about the author that you're reading. And then also, more importantly, I think we live in a similar place today. I believe that we are at a time where we need to go to bat for our faith. I believe that the church nationally is full of corruption and justification for immoral living. And I believe that just as Jude was exhorting other believers to love the Lord and to not compromise their faith or their personal relationship with the Lord, that we too need this pep talk. That we need to know that we can show tolerance and love without compromising our faith or the Word of God. We do this through practicing His presence on a daily basis. We do this by looking to the book of Jude for the appropriate steps to take. And so again, if you read with me what Jude writes, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." The first step that we are going to take that Jude mentions is building on our most holy faith. How do we build up our most holy faith? Well, I believe our faith is founded in the Word of God. And so naturally, my mind jumps to that childhood Sunday school, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I'll stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. Remember that? If you didn't, you should learn it because it's fun. The Bible is our foundation. It is what we stand firm upon. And so we need to practice His presence through building upon the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone." And so if we want to keep our faith from wavering, if we want to know and depend on the Word of God, then we need to apply it. Consider what Jesus taught in Matthew 7. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his home or his house on the rock. And the rain descends and the floods come and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." To build our most holy faith is to not only know what we believe, but knowing why we believe it. Joshua 1:8 tells us that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. To know God's Word is to study God's Word. To build upon our knowledge of God's Word is to trust and to apply it to our lives, to do as it is written. We have seen this very thing in Joshua. He is a wonderful example of someone who has walked by faith and fully depended on God. But not only that, but he has studied and been in God's Word day in and day out. That he puts all his chips into that basket. Philippians 4:8 and 9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." If we want the peace of God, and if we want to influence and change people for the better, then we need to cling to His truth. We need to hide these virtues in our hearts, and we need to meditate on Jesus' example regularly. Ladies, our time spent in the Word should not equal the 15 minutes that we have in the morning or in the evening, the 15 minutes you spend in His Word, that should not be where it ends. You should not consider picking up His Word for 15 minutes and thinking, oh, I'm in the presence of the Lord, and then I'm going to set that back down. Throughout our days, we should be looking at God's Word for His advice and His encouragement. It has never been more easy for anyone to be in God's Word as it is today. And I say that because we literally have God's Word in our pockets. We have it in our purses. It's called a smartphone. And I know the majority of you, if not 99% of you, have one of those. And so anytime you find yourself in a moment where you feel you're in a bad situation or a difficult situation, where you get even a moment of quietness, you should be taking advantage of that. You should pause for a moment and pull out your phone. You should pull out your phone not to look at Instagram or Facebook, not to shoot some birds at a pig, not to crush some candy. I'm guilty of that one. And not to phone a friend, but to literally look into the Word of God. There is a quote that I saw on Pinterest which says, "You are the books you read, the movies you watch, the music you listen to, the people you spend time with, and the conversations you engage in. Choose wisely what you feed your mind." And the funny thing is, God is so good. It's not funny, but you know what I'm saying. He told Lenya to share about having a healthy appetite and having a healthy diet. And that is exactly what I had written in my notes prior to her knowing anything. And so this is a question that I want you to take seriously, because the Lord wants you to hear this. Are you eating a healthy breakfast during your quiet time with the Lord and then eating junk food for the remainder of the day? Do you share in holy moments with the Lord and then go about your day filling your mind with destructive images, with perverse music, and toxic conversations? I think as believers, we can get in a rut and we can think that if we start our mornings off right, then whatever else I do for the remainder of the day, it's covered by the grace of God, right? But we need to realize that that is not how God intended us to do this. And I'll be the first to admit that I can have a wonderful time in the Lord, with the Lord in my quiet time. And then after I get to work or I start playing mom, all of a sudden, instead of the love of God flowing out of me, it's more like the wrath of God flowing out of me. It's as if the time I just spent with God, I totally forgot about that. I'm no longer conscientious of what He just had me read or what I just learned and applied, because I wasn't applying it. It's like when you go and have a coffee date or a meeting with someone and you put your smile on and you're listening and nodding and you're being a good girl, and then you're done with that meeting and you walk away and you're back sulking, back angry. Everything. And how humiliating is it when you get caught in that cynical moment, when you had just worn a smile for someone and then they see you rolling your eyes and they're just like, oh, that is how we should feel when we spend time with God and then walk back and neglect His presence and go back to our negative attitudes, our negative habits. That's how we should feel. We should be humiliated and embarrassed by it. Ladies, we ought to not push God away or to set Him down when we set our Bibles down. We always need to be conscientious of His presence. And we not only need to be conscientious, but we need to embrace it and invite Him in. One of the very ways we can practice being aware of His presence is being in His Word daily and throughout the day. And perhaps a practical way we can apply this is again, reverting back to our childhood, reverting back to having memory verses every week. We need new memory verses, and I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to choose a memory verse every Monday or the first day of your week, whatever day that falls on, and pick a scripture to reiterate throughout the week. It may be as simple as Jesus wept, but you need to know the content of that. Why did he weep? So if you think, I'm going to remember Jesus wept this week, why did he weep? And you need to understand and know where that is in Scripture. So how do we meditate on the Word of God? How do we apply this to our lives? Well, we hide his Word in our hearts. David writes, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Once we hide it in our hearts, then we need to build on these truths, and we need to live by faith. Paul prays in Ephesians 3:16, "He, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." We embody the presence of God most when we live by faith and stay grounded in his love and in his truth. Brother Lawrence wrote, "Let us occupy ourselves entirely in knowing God. The more we know him, the more we will desire to know him. As love increases with knowledge, the more we know God, the more we will truly love God." Ladies, to know God's word is to know God. And to know his word and to know God is to love God. So let's steady our faith in God through reading his word and applying his truths to the foundation on which we stand. Next, we are going to take a look at practicing his presence through the conversations we have with him. Praying in the power of God. Jude 20 goes on to tell us that we need to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And before we can fully understand the power of prayer, I believe we need to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And before we can truly understand how incredibly blessed we are, what an incredible blessing it is that we have the Holy Spirit, I think we need to consider the differences between the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit of the New Testament. And as I approached this message, I wanted to know the ins and outs. I really wanted to understand this. And I knew that God's presence was available in the Old Testament because it is written in his word and it is reiterated in Joshua 3:7, which we have studied. "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." So we know that God was with Joshua, and we know he was with other people that he had ordained. And we know that the Holy Spirit existed because we are aware of the Trinity. We have the knowledge of the three-head, Father, Spirit, Son. But I still wanted to know the difference between his presence of the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit that came upon us in the New Testament. And so I asked Pastor Skip, the wise man, right? And he told me that God in the Old Testament made his presence known to particular people. He chose specific individuals to actually experience the presence of God. So we know Moses, we know Joshua, we know Elijah and Jeremiah and Nehemiah, all these prophets that he ordained, that he chose to make his presence known. However, the presence of God today is that of which is the Holy Spirit. And we learn of him in the New Testament in Acts when the coming on, the falling on of the Holy Spirit came. So after Jesus came, he died, he rose again. We know that then the Father sent the Holy Spirit in his place. And so what I want you guys to consider is the majority of all these people, thousands, possibly millions of people of the Old Testament, did not experience the presence of God as we are able to today. Now, don't you feel blessed that you can have an intimacy with God, that you can have your own personal conversation with God and your own personal relationship with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? We are so lucky that our relationship with the Lord no longer depends on somebody else. We can have our own faith, and we don't have to have simple faith in just the Word of God, or faith in a person and their relationship with God, but our own personal interaction with Him. Nobody can talk that down. Nobody can defeat your own personal experience with God. And so I just want you guys to consider how blessed we truly are to live now. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I would live back then. It seemed so much easier then. God directed every step. He parted the sea. It was so much easier. How could you go any other way other than through the sea? Because that was the pathway, you know. And we are so blessed because we have him walking with us and in us. Ephesians 1:12-14 says that who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions to the praise of his glory. So Paul tells us that his Holy Spirit is available to anyone who chooses to come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And because Jesus came and Jesus died for our sins and he rose again, we can have a personal relationship with God. We are able to speak directly to him and have conversations with him and to pour out our hearts to him. Jesus tells us in John 14:26, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So Jesus stood in the gap, right? His sacrifice is what allows us to have this established relationship with God the Father. And then the Father sends his Holy Spirit to almost stand in the gap for Jesus, for people, for generations to come. So the Holy Spirit is God. If you want to know what the presence of God is, it is the Holy Spirit living within you. You have a living God in you. And that should blow our minds. What is it to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit? It is to pray and to converse with the living God. It is God's Spirit dwelling within us that directs our steps and that guides us which way to go. He teaches us all that we need to know, and he brings to remembrance the things that are important. So we ought to pray in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit because he is literally the presence of God. But ladies, how often do you pray? How often do you take the time to talk to God? One of the most influencing aspects of our Christian lives is how frequently we converse with God. So honestly ask yourself, how often do I pray? My hope is that you cannot count the times that you pray in a single day because it is innumerous. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. But what does that practically mean? Well, the way I came to best understand this for myself personally is I am a woman. Therefore, if I'm awake, I am speaking. right? If I'm awake, I'm speaking. Whether I am communicating with somebody audibly or I am just talking to myself in my head, I am talking, right? And so I am always saying something. To pray without ceasing is to include God in those conversations, whether those conversations are with somebody else or they're with yourself and indirectly with God, or they are directly between you and the Lord. You need to always consider that He is a part of the conversations that you have. And just as I mentioned, God's presence isn't something that we can pick up and set down when we please. He is always there. Matthew tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I would consider the same is true if we said that backwards. The heart believes what the mouth speaks. I believe that words have power. I believe that words, whether we are thinking them or speaking them over ourselves or somebody else, have the power to influence who we are and what we do. They have the power to build up or to tear down, to encourage or to discourage. Whenever you are speaking, are you aware that God is listening? What does the Lord think about the conversations you have? Knowing He hears everything, what do you think about the conversations you have? Are you proud of the things you say or think? Or are you ashamed of what the Lord hears your heart speak? Ladies, we need to involve God in our conversations. We need to make a conscious effort to remember and be aware of His constant presence. Brother Lawrence once said, He, God, does not ask much of us, merely a thought of Him from time to time. A little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for His grace, sometimes to offer Him your sufferings, at other times to thank Him for His grace past and present. He has bestowed on you in the midst of your troubles to take solace in Him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to Him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to Him. One need not cry very loud. God is nearer to us than we think. Ladies, our thought life and prayer life are one in the same. They're one in the same. And like Brother Lawrence said, it doesn't take much. A simple thought, a simple acknowledgement of what God has done in our lives and continues to do in our lives. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. If we want to practice the presence of God, then we need to acknowledge God in our prayer and in our conversations. Brother Lawrence wrote, there is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice and experience it. So let's make this a practice today. Let's start this practice today. Let's experience the sweet delight of conversing with God continually and seeing what that does and how it impacts our lives. Because I bet it will change the way we behave. I bet it will change the way we speak, the way we think, the way we react, the way we live. Which leads us to our next point. The practice of God's presence through living out His will for our lives. We must remain in the love of God. Jude 21 tells us that we should keep ourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? Well, 1 John 2:5 says, but whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. So we must know God's word to know God. We must pray in the power of the Holy Spirit to experience the power of God, and we must keep God's word in order to live in the will of God. John 15:10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love." What does this practically look like? What does it mean to abide in the love of God? Well, Nathan often tells me that, "Janae, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and then do whatever you want. Do whatever you want." And so by seeking first the kingdom of God, then everything else will be added unto me. Everything else that I want to do will be of what he wants me to do. 1 John 2:6 paints it pretty clearly. He says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." If we truly desire to remain in the love of God, we must be imitators of Jesus. It is said that our sanctification does not depend upon changing our works, but in doing that for God's sake, which was commonly done for our own. I think we can do that. It is simply changing your motivation for your actions and the way you live from being for glorifying yourself to glorifying God. So what are your motives? Do you love your children day in and day out, hoping that somebody is going to notice you and go, "Wow, she is a good mom"? Or do you love your children because they are gifts from the Lord and they are lent to you for a time for you to take care of and to cherish? Do you work really hard at your job to get a promotion or to get a raise? Or do you work really hard to promote Jesus in your life at your job? Do you serve your husband to earn his love and appreciation? Or do you serve your husband to point him to Jesus? What are our motives? We are women, and so we do things often because it feels right. Instead of acting upon our emotions, ask yourself, am I doing this for me, or am I doing this for him? The 1-year study Bible put it this way: when you are seeking God's will, make sure your plan is in harmony with God's word. Ask mature Christians for their advice. Check your own motives to see if you are seeking to do what you want or what you believe God wants. Pray for God to open and close the doors as he desires and ask him to make his path clear to you. Then follow his spirit in obedience. Ladies, obedience is the key ingredient in abiding in God. Sometimes being obedient is going to call us to sacrifice our comforts. It's going to call us to sacrifice the conveniences. But we must trust that in everything, he has a meaning for his plan. There is meaning because it is of him. And so our discomforts, our life's inconveniences, even though we may not see it, serve a greater purpose in his plan for our lives. And we need to trust that he is going to provide for us during those times. We need to trust that God has the answers. We need to choose to live by faith and to believe that God is working in us and giving us the desires and the power to do what is pleasing to him. Philippians 2:13-15 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as a light in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day that of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." We are called to be light bearers, not to be in the spotlight. To remain in God's will is to be the source of which the light comes from. The light shines through us. It is Jesus in us shining out. And we need to always remember that. We shouldn't strive and long for the spotlight to be on us. It should always be light on Him, point to Him. It's about God. It's not about us. We need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and then do whatever we want. If we make Jesus our everything, everything we do will be for Him and of Him. John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." So our desires will become God's desires if we keep Him on the throne of our lives. And part of our daily commitment of practicing His presence needs to be placing Him on that throne. Even if you have to constantly dethrone yourself or dethrone something else, you need to keep placing Him on the throne. It is through placing Him on the throne and acknowledging and lifting Him high and placing Him in a place of honor that our lives will reflect Him. And only then can we fully rely on the mercy of God. And so as we close, as we've seen building on the Word of God and the need to pray in the power of God and to remain in the love of God, there is one last thought that I want to share with you. And that is, as we practice the presence of God, we are inevitably going to fail, right? We are inevitably going to fall short. It says in Jude 21, it continues and says, "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Others' translations say, "Awaiting the mercy of our Lord, waiting anxiously and looking forward to the mercy of our Lord." What does this mean? Well, it tells me that I need to do everything I can to build up my faith in the Word of God. It tells me that I need to be active in my prayer life, that I need to live in alignment with God's will, and that I need to hold fast to the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. But then let God do the rest. Leave the rest to the Lord. We need to live our lives with anticipation of what is to come because of God's enduring mercy. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in the heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times." Eternal life was made possible through Christ and God's abundant mercy and love. So we can passionately and should passionately pursue an intimacy, an intimate relationship with the Lord that allows us to be in complete abandonment. A complete abandonment, looking for what is to come. Meaning we can choose to love the unlovable as if tomorrow's never going to come. Right? We can choose to forgive the unforgivable because we first were forgiven. And we can choose to be compassionate to the lost because we once too were lost. We can choose to die to ourselves and let Jesus live in us and through us. Paul tells us in Romans that this is our reasonable service. It is our reasonable service to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And that we should not conform to this world, but we should be transformed in the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To practice the presence of God is to put to death our flesh and to give life to the Spirit. It is to glorify God in all that we do and say, and to show the world Jesus in us, not us. Amen. It's not about us. Once we establish a relationship with the Lord, then we can fully rely and embrace His mercy. And it is through our reliance of His mercy that our lives become a declaration of our need for a Savior. 1 Timothy 1:15, 16 through 16 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. By receiving God's mercy, we set an example for others to follow. Mercy is available to all, but it is attainable only for those who believe. So let's help the lost to believe. Let's give them a reason to believe by our example. Let's pursue an intimacy with God that is only obtainable through His mercy and the practice of His presence on a daily basis in our lives, through the building up of our most holy faith, through praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, and through remaining in the love of God. Let's strive to be life changers, not by gaining a platform of influence, but by living lives of influence. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come before You right now and we just thank You for Your word. We thank You that it refines us and that it corrects us and it directs us, Lord. We thank You that through You, all things are possible. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord, that when we fumble, when we fall, when we break down, Lord, You are there to pick us back up and to set us back on the right path, Lord, that You never leave us nor forsake us, and You are always with us, whether we are on mountaintops or valleys low, God. And so, Lord, I pray for these ladies. I pray that You would make Your presence known to them, Lord, that they would feel You embody them. And Lord, that they would be able to live lives that glorify You through the practice of applying these steps from Your word, Lord. May You help us to practice Your presence better. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.